Hello, and welcome to morning prayer at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Edison, New Jersey. I thank God that we're able to be together this morning, to start this day, to end this week in prayer. Today is Saturday, and we have reached the end of the 20th week after Pentecost. This week, we've spent some time considering what it means for us that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and I hope you can see how Easter is not just a one-day event, but Easter is the ongoing event of what God is doing in and for us in Christ, the hoped-for resurrection of the dead when Christ comes again. And now we begin our time of prayer in silence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. In your hand are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Give glory to God, our light and our life. O come, let us worship and praise. You have been born anew through the abiding word of God. A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning this morning at verse 50. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. There's an ancient baptismal custom that clothes the newly baptized in new garments. It is a powerful symbol that tells us that we have left the past behind, and now in Christ we have become a new creation. But the symbol is actually more powerful than just a symbol of a fresh start and new clothes, the way we might clean up somebody who was out on the street or homeless for a while and then move them into proper work clothes or a suit and send them on their way. No, this is really a way of communicating that this body of ours, of flesh and blood, will be put off, and God will clothe us in a new body at the resurrection. Like putting on a new suit of clothes, this new resurrected body will be just fit for us it will be us. When a casket is wheeled into our sanctuary, we drape it in a pall, and the presiding minister stands before it and says, "All who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In our baptism, we were clothed with Christ. In the day of Christ's coming, we shall be clothed in glory." It is a way of talking about the resurrection. This perishable body puts on imperishability, as Paul says, because death has been destroyed, swallowed up in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ over the power of death. We put on this new body and live in him forever. All this is to say that God is faithful to and loves the whole creation. In Jesus Christ, God is renewing the whole creation, and in Christ and in that creation, human beings will be renewed and redeemed and made new. We can make such bold and faithful claims because we know that there is a resurrection of the dead, because Jesus has been raised from the dead. Because of that, we believe in the resurrection of the body, and we believe in the life of the world to come. Sin, from its beginning, has been described as human beings reaching out to be God. In Christ and in the promise of resurrection, human beings are made human once again. And God looks on us with favor and says that we are very good. As Paul reaches the end of this section, he tells the faithful to remain steadfast in what they have received. That is, the witness of Jesus' resurrection, in the hope of the resurrection on the day of the Lord's coming again. That is the end that we are working toward, the end that is embodied by Jesus, crucified for our sins and raised to bring us new life. In our baptism, we have put on Christ in hope of the resurrection. In Galatians, St. Paul writes that the life we now live in the flesh, we live not for the flesh, but for the glory of God. One of the great blessings of Jesus' resurrection is the assurance of God's gifts of eternal life for all who believe. But one of the great blessings that flow from that assurance is a new appreciation and love for the goodness and magnificence of this creation and for our redeemed place in it. I used to think that the church's great prayer, the prayer that ends all of Scripture for us, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus," was a prayer asking for some kind of escape. But now I have come to see it is the cry, the groaning and longing for our redemption and liberation, and not just for us, but for this whole creation, of all that sin and death has brought into the world, to be set free. Won't it be great to see this creation as God wills and intends it in Christ Jesus? Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free. You have raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of your servant David. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our forebears and to remember your holy covenant. This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship you without fear, holy and righteous before you, all the days of our life. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. In you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Mighty God of mercy, we thank you for the resurrection dawn, bringing the glory of our risen Lord who makes every day new. Especially we thank you for the sustaining goodness of your creation, for the new creation in Christ, and all gifts of healing and forgiveness, for the communion of faith in your church, and for the gift of relationship with others. For what else are we truly thankful? Merciful God, who might renew this weary world, heal the hurts of all of your children, and bring about your peace for all in Christ Jesus, the living Lord. Especially we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ in every land, that it continue to bear witness to Christ crucified and risen again. For those who govern the nations of the world, that they might do so for the sake of their people, for the well-being of the world. For the people in countries ravaged by strife and warfare, that you would set them free from the powers of sin and death, and that you would prosper the work of all who are working for peace and international harmony, frustrating those who are violent. For all who strive to save this earth from carelessness and destruction, we pray that their message might fall and bear fruit on people's hearts, that we might be moved to action. For those who are sick, that they might find healing. For those who are mourning, that they might know God's comfort, Lord, your grace. For who else or for what else do we pray this morning? Almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power, that we may not fall into sin nor be overcome in adversity. In all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us now and forever. Amen. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.